Isaiah 60. Let's take it from 1 to 3 today. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3. Quickly today. Now, verse number 1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Now, we did say even last Sunday that Jesus is the light of God that came for us. He is the light of God that came for us, and he is the glory that is risen upon us. We covered this last Sunday. He is the light of God that came for us to save us. We're in darkness, and he found us, and he delivered us, he redeemed us. But Jesus is also the glory of the Lord that is risen upon us, right? Now, if you look in Hebrews 1 and 3, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3 says that Jesus is the brightness of the glory of God. He is the brightness. That's what Hebrews says. And the express image of the Lord, of the Father, right? He is the brightness of the glory of God. The MPC, I love the wording there. It says he's the outraying, the radiance of the divine. The outraying is the light, our light, okay, that has come, and the glory of the Lord that is risen upon us. Am I making sense to you? Now, verse number 2 of Isaiah says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. But not only that, and it says, and it will be seen upon you. The glory is risen upon you, and it will be seen upon you. That seen upon you is important. We spoke briefly, I think we didn't go that deeper into it last Sunday, but the thing is, he says it will be seen. So it must be seen. It should be seen. It ought to be seen. Verse number 3 of Isaiah. "And the Gentiles, the peoples of the world, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness, or to the glory of your rising. To the brightness, to the glory, right? Now, that glory, Isaiah also tells us that it must be seen. Okay, friends? Now, we notice that when we rise, we rise in the glory, we rise through the glory, we rise by reason of the glory. When we rise, according to the prophecy, according to the word of the Lord in Isaiah, that is for you and for me, even this day, when we rise in the glory, we rise through the glory, we rise by the reason. The glory of the Lord is reason, right? We rise by reason of the glory. We are the light. This was the thrust of the message last Sunday. We are the light. As the children of God, we are the light of the world. We are the light of the Gentiles. We are the light of the nations. That Isaiah says, they shall come to us when they see our light. We are the light as the children of God because of Jesus Christ who is in us, and because of the Spirit of God who dwells in us. But our brightness, our glow, our shine comes by the Spirit upon us. Our brightness, our glow, our shine comes when the Spirit of the Lord, he rests upon us, when he comes upon us, right? The Spirit upon us. This is the glory of the Lord that Isaiah is talking about. The Spirit upon us. When the Spirit is upon us, we begin to shine, to beam light. He says, we are the light of the world. Last Sunday, the Lord Jesus, we read where the Lord was saying to us that we ought to shine. We ought to shine our light, beam, glow our light to the world. Now, the shining there, notice it is a verb. It is a verb. It's not a thing of, I'm a Christian, I'm good, I'm born again, I've got the Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of me. No, the shine there is a verb. Let your light so shine. John 5:14, we read it last Sunday. Let your light so shine. The let your light shine, that shine is a verb. And I did say last Sunday that let your light shine, so shine to the world. That is a command. It is a command. It was not a suggestion. It is a command. Shine is a verb. Now the question is this, if I'm commanded to shine my light, how then do I do that? Which is what we are attempting to look at today. Am I talking to you? Are you understanding so far? Now, the Spirit upon us is the glory of God upon us, just as Isaiah says that the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. Remember, it says the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. In other words, the Spirit who dwells within should at some point manifest without. The Spirit of God who dwells within should at some appointed time, you as a believer, as a child of God, the Spirit who dwells within you should at an appointed time manifest without. That which is within should at some time manifest without. And notice, this is not an option. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. Let your light shine. Let your light shine. The glory of the Lord that is seen upon us is the work or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The glory of the Lord that is seen upon us is the work or the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in us, through us, by us, upon us. Holy Spirit manifesting Himself in us, by us, through us, upon us. All right? This is incumbent upon and it is imperative for every believer, for every child of God, for every Christian. It is incumbent upon you. If you are a child of God, you are a believer, this is an imperative. It's not a choice. It's not a suggestion. It is what it is, and it ought to be that way. All right? Notice, you and I are neither the vine nor the owner of the vine, but we are the branches that ought to bear fruit. All right? The branches do not bear fruit because they want to. All right, they bear fruit because the owner of the vine and the vine, they cause them to bear fruit. Now you see, this is why it is not a choice, it is not a suggestion that a child of God bears fruit. And the fruit bearing, it is natural to a child of God. That's why Christ says, if you abide in me as the vine, if you remain in me as the vine, you will bear fruit. That means for a believer to be bearing fruit, it is not a choice, it is not an option, it is a positional thing. It's where you abide, if you abide in him. The Holy Spirit, friends, He manifests Himself in us and through us. The Holy Spirit, He manifests, all right? If I'm born again and I live in right relationship with the Holy Spirit who is in me and the Word of God that I have, it is only a matter of time before the Spirit of the Lord manifests Himself in me and through me and by me. It's only a matter of time. It's not anything that you can help. It just happens. It's not something that you can help. It's like when you're praying for somebody and they fall, you didn't do anything. The first time you get shocked yourself, why is someone falling when I'm praying for them? And you see that? It's the manifestation through you, and you have nothing to do with it. Now, that is a child of God. No, this of a person falling, I'm just making an example. I'm not saying people must fall all the time, but I'm just saying that the manifestation of the Spirit, it is not controlled by us. The Holy Spirit, He manifests Himself in us, through us, and by us. That is what He does if we are in a right relationship with Him and right relationship with the Word. Rightly aligned with the Spirit, rightly aligned with the Word of God. John 14 and 17, he says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwells with you, and it shall be in you. It shall be in you. Now, this is reference to the Holy Spirit indwelling us. All right? This is reference to the Holy Spirit within, indwelling us. All right? Acts 1 and 8. Acts 1 and 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. There's the Holy Spirit who is with you, Holy Spirit who is in you, Holy Spirit who is upon you. We saw those three things. All right? When you are born again, Holy Spirit is in you. The Spirit of God in you is not the Spirit of God upon you. Those are two different things. Those are two different things. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. This is the glory which Isaiah says it shall be seen upon us. If you are born again, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Nobody sees anything. That's private, that's within you, all right? That's secret. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses unto me. You see that? When it comes upon you, then you do. Comes upon you, then service. Comes upon you, then the Spirit begins to work. Comes upon you, then the Spirit begins to manifest. Can you see that? But you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now this, as I say, is the second reference, which is the Spirit upon us, the Holy Spirit working in us, the Holy Spirit working through us, the Holy Spirit being seen upon us, the Holy Spirit manifests in us and through us. Holy Spirit manifests. When they spoke about in Israel, when they spoke about the Shekinah glory, they were talking about the manifest presence of God. And this is amazing. When you read, when you go through, you walk through the pages of the Old Testament, God could just appear. His presence could manifest to ordinary people. That's why the nation knew Shekinah. They understood Shekinah. All right, but this is not just a reserve of the Old Testament. It's talking about the Spirit upon, the Spirit who must be seen, the glory that must be seen. This is what Isaiah is about. This is what Joel chapter number 2 is about. In the last days, I will pour my Spirit upon your sons and your daughters. I'll pour my Spirit upon all men. And I love it. God says, upon your maidservants and your manservants, showing you how determined God is for His glory to be seen upon us. Not just to be born again and then be sweet, good Christians that are doing absolutely nothing, but who are self-confident of the fact that anything that happens, I'm ready to go to heaven. See, that is not really the reason why we're born again. The Bible talks about us being ready, not ready to die, but being ready. Ready for the Lord. That means whether I die or I live, I'm ready. That means whether the Lord comes tomorrow or next week, I'm ready. The Bible does talk about readiness. We should mind our readiness. Am I ready? Because he says I must be ready at all times, not ready for death per se, but ready for the Lord. An instrument should always be ready for the Lord's use. Because we are his instruments, we are his vessels, we are his people, we are his children, we are his servants. This, I can tell you for free right now, that is not the reason why majority of Christians go to church every Sunday or every other day. This is not the reason. All right? They don't go to church for the will of God, because this is the will of God. They go to church for their will. What is the will of man? God bless me. God give me this. God let me do this. God this. God that. No. There's a will. Christ Jesus said, for this purpose I came. For this cause I was born. For this cause I came from heaven to earth. For this purpose. The Bible says we are born from above. For what cause, for what purpose have you and I been born from above? Because if God wanted, after born again, we'd just go straight home. What's the point of lingering around? What's the point of lingering on? Now you see, he didn't take us because he has work for us. I say he did not take us because he has work for us. After that, we are born again. He didn't take us because he has work for us. He has work for me. He has work for you. Arise, shine, for your time has come. Your time of procrastination is gone. Your time of rationalization, it is gone. The time of excusing yourself, it is gone. The time of your ignorance, the Lord has overlooked. Arise, shine. This is your time. Your time has come. For what cause, for what purpose are you born again? For what cause, for what purpose have you been born again from above? What is it that the Lord has been waiting on you all this time? Why is it that what agenda of God you have delayed all this time? Some of us are excelling in things that God has not called us in. Some of us are still holding to think that the Lord said, I used you for this, the time has passed. I want to use you for something else. But we can't hear him. God says, I've used you for this, but the time for that is gone. Now I want to use you for something else. No, and we don't want to let go. Arise, shine, family, for your time has come. I say, arise, shine, family. We are talking about the spirit within and the spirit without. The spirit within and the spirit without. The spirit in and the spirit upon. The spirit in and the spirit upon. The spirit upon. Hallelujah. And this is the twofold work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as children of God. The Spirit of the Lord working in us, and the Spirit of God working through us. The Spirit working within us, he forms the character of Christ. The indwelling, the Spirit within, he forms the character in us. There's an in working of the Holy Spirit. He works within. That's the Spirit within. He forms the character of Christ. He transforms us into the image of Jesus, into the nature of Christ, into the character that the Spirit within. And it's so, I don't know how to say this, but it's so unfortunate that a lot of Christians, they only focus on this, they are stuck on this, and they end on this. A lot of Christians, they only focus on this. They are stuck on this, and they only end on this, the Spirit within. The working of the Holy Spirit in forming the character, transforming us into the image, into the nature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which is the nature of the new man in Christ. The Bible also calls it the newness of life, the new man in Christ. That's not the only thing there is to it. The Spirit working without, however, the Spirit working without is the provision or the supply of God's power for the miraculous, for the supernatural, for the Spirit of the Lord to begin to work through us, doing things that only God can do. You see, that is the purpose of the Spirit without, the working of the Spirit without the Spirit upon us. Are we together so far? The manifestation means demonstration, the revealing, the revelation, the coming forth, that which can be seen and experienced. The manifestation of the Holy Spirit, of the power and of the glory, is the result of the coming of the Spirit of God upon us. The manifestation of the power of God is the result of the Spirit upon, because that is the working of the Spirit without, from without. So the Spirit upon. The manifestation. There is a manifestation. If you see any child of God praying for the sick and they're healed, doing this and this happens, you see the power of God, you see the presence of God. Now, that's the working of the Holy Spirit upon. Now, this is the part that God really wants us to focus on, because it's His perfect express will. But a lot of us believers, it would be that we've been deceived by the devil not even to consider it. It's for every child of God. God, like I said, He appeared to ordinary people in the Old Testament. I mean, if you take for an example the case of Gideon, the man was absolutely nowhere. He was defeated in the mind. He was defeated as a person. He was absolutely nowhere in the scheme of things. He was absolutely nowhere. But God came to him and say, what I do through people, what I do through someone, it does not take anything from them, but it is everything that I come with, because I only need you as a vessel for me to begin to work through. That's all I need. I just need a vessel. And everyone that is born again, who's got the Spirit of God in them, this one is a purchased and marked vessel of God. Now, how can it be that He cannot use you as He pleases and when He wants? Something is incomplete there. And if it continues like that perpetually, that means something is wrong there. Something is wrong. God has never stopped wanting to manifest Himself to mankind. God has never stopped wanting to manifest Himself to mankind, through mankind. Has never stopped, church. Has never stopped. Hallelujah. Acts 10 and 38. Acts 10 and 38. This is the part, as a scholar, you say, oh Lord, that you may use me in my school. This is a part as an employee, as a worker, say, Lord, that you may use me in my work. This is the part as a professional that you say, Lord, that you may use me in my profession, because God wants to manifest Himself wherever there are people, wherever there is men, wherever there are human beings. God is wanting. The only thing that God lacks is a vessel. God has never stopped wanting to raise the dead. The only thing He lacks to raise the dead is a vessel. He has not stopped. God has not stopped. The only thing He lacks is a vessel. But God does not lack the power. He doesn't lack the ability. He only lacks a human being to use. That's it. That's what it is. And we are talking about genuinely being used by God, and not the gimmicks and all the nonsense that you know about, which we shall not glorify by talking about it here. Acts chapter number 10 and verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. God anointed him. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. That although the Holy Spirit was in Jesus, there's something that God had to put upon him. There's an anointing. Notice anointing is from without. All right? Anointing means you are smearing with oil in the natural. And that oil is from without. It comes upon the head of a person. You see? And when that happens, something changes. Both in the spiritual and in the physical. Something changes. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now listen, immediately who went about, immediately after the Holy Spirit comes upon, there is an immediate springing into action. Instantly, the Holy Spirit begins to manifest himself. Oh my goodness. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon. The thing is this, a lot of us, we are deceived in not in the church, I mean everywhere in the Christendom. People are seeking to manifest themselves. No, it doesn't work that way. No. The moment he comes upon, it is him who manifests himself, not you. It is him now who manifests himself through you. A lot of us are busy with manifesting ourselves. We are busy, we are wanting fame, we are wanting to be known. No, it does not work that way. That's why, as long as we are wanting fame, we are chasing to be known, he cannot, we are actually blocking him from manifesting. He cannot, and he will not. The moment it comes upon, now he is able. After that, the Holy Spirit comes upon man. Now he is able to manifest himself. God is now able to manifest himself through that vessel. Are you the vessel God is looking for today? Are you the vessel God is looking for today? Are you the vessel God is looking for today?
Yes.
Now the Bible says, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. This is the Spirit upon which produces outward manifestation. There is nothing as beautiful as the outward manifestation of the supernatural, of the divine, of the glory, of the presence, of the Shekinah, the outward manifestation. Nations, if you read down from where Pastor Fancy read in the morning in Numbers, when you read down there, when Moses was interceding for Israel, he says to the Lord, he says, Lord, nations are afraid of us. Nations are afraid of Israel. And he gives a reason why nations were afraid. He says, because the nations have heard that, Lord, you are visible among us. Your presence is with us. You, Lord, you are a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He says the nations have heard. So the nations are trembling when they hear, when they know that Israel is coming. They are trembling. Why? They are trembling because of the glory of the Lord that was upon Israel. You know how beautiful that is. And nations, they heard about this to say the God of the universe, the God, the true God, is manifest upon these people. And they know you can't fight them, because if you fight them, you fight God. God is with them. This is why he says, and for God was with him. For God was with him. You can't stop or defeat someone whom God is with. You can't stop, you can't defeat them. They can try as much as they can, but you can't stop that person. That person is unstoppable. I say this is the Spirit upon which produces outward manifestation. This is the manifestation of the Spirit that people can see and experience. It is true that you are standing at a very critical junction where only through you people can see or experience God. Only through you. Because you were born again, it is a calling. That means there are people, when you are born again, God has had an assignment upon you, that there are people that through you, they will see and experience him. But here you are sitting down and you don't bother about it. Through you, that's your calling. You are called for this. Through you, there are people that are supposed to see God, supposed to experience God through you. That's your calling. Have you ever thought of that? That's a serious matter. That's a serious issue. That's a serious issue. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we think or ask, according to his power that is at work within us. Do you understand the power that is already within you? Do you understand the one who already dwells in you? Also in the Bible, he says, Christ in me, the hope of glory, the hope of glory. Now Isaiah says, that glory must be seen upon you. There are people who have to see it. There are people who have to experience it. It has to benefit them. Do you really think the awesome, wonderful God of heaven can subject himself to what he subjected himself so that he could save me, save you, redeem you? You think he could go through all these lengths so that you and I become ordinary? That's rich if you think that. Jesus went through all this. God, he had to subject, he had to reduce and subject himself to all of these things. To save me, to redeem me, to save me, to redeem you, to save you, just so that you and I can be ordinary. Just so that we, our focus can be that we are very good church members. And that our names are written in the church's registry. Do you think that, church? Do you think that, saints? There's work, there's more. We ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. There is more. John chapter 2:11. John 2:11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. You and I are called, the Bible says, we are called to glory and virtue. We are called to glory and virtue. That means these things ought to be made manifest by us, through us. You know what I mean? We are called to glory and virtue. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The Lord shall arise over you and his glory shall be seen upon you. See? He manifested. What is to manifest? To make visible. His glory shall be seen. To manifest is to make visible. Can you see that? Jesus manifested his glory. Manifested. Glory to God. Arise, shine, friends, for your light has come. This is what Isaiah tells us. It says, the Lord shall arise over you and his glory shall be seen upon you. Arise, shine, for your light has come. That word seen is very key. Shall be seen. Shall be seen. It must be seen. All right. Like I said, at some appointed time, the Lord should manifest his glory through you and through me. At some appointed time, divine time of God, the glory should manifest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ at the appointed time, he began to manifest the glory. He began to beam his light and all the people saw it. This is my calling and your calling. All right? The Spirit upon. The Spirit of God upon us. The Spirit of God upon a believer. Paul says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. That's 1 Corinthians 12. That's scary. Maybe you haven't noticed the scary part I'm talking about. It says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. Now, here comes the part to each one. Each one. Each child of God, each one, the manifestation. Am I talking to you? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Then it begins to talk about manifesting himself to each one through healings, working of signs, wonders, and miracles. And it goes on and on. It mentions this thing. All right? That's how people see and experience him. But he says it's given to each believer. Are you each believer? Are you each believer? Are you the each believer? Go and revisit. He says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each. How are you manifesting him? How is he manifesting himself through you? Because he told you the manifestation is given to each one. And he says, for the benefit, for the profit. You see, Holy Spirit does not manifest just for the sake of it. That's why I said earlier on, there are people who have to see God, experience God because of you, through you. This is the reason why, friends, we are born again. Some of us, maybe we think we are born again so that we can be church members, so that we can be faithful tithers, so that the church can grow and never produce people, and never produce people that can demonstrate the glory of God. Maybe some of us, that's what we think. And we are wrong if that's what we think. We are very wrong. We are very wrong if that's what we think, because that's not what it is. That's not all what it is. That's not all what it is. It's for all of us. We can see also this in Isaiah 44 in verse number 3. Isaiah 44 and verse 3 says, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty. On him who is thirsty is for everyone. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each believer. What manifestation or gift of the Holy Spirit do you have? What manifestation or gift of the Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, do you have? Because if you cannot answer that, I'm surprised you are so happy with yourself. I'm very surprised. I'm shocked. I'm shocked you are so content as a Christian. I'm really shocked and surprised. I am nonplussed by you. If you can't answer, what manifestation of the Spirit is given you? What gift of the Spirit is given you? If you are a child of God born, if you cannot answer, I'm wondering why you're so comfortable. I'm wondering why you're so happy with yourself as a Christian. I'm really wondering. And you're happy because you stop cigarette. You're happy because you stop drinking. You're happy because you stop womanizing and menizing. And you're really happy because I stopped doing this. I stopped. No. That's good. But it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. So which manifestation is given you? Which gift is given? There's no way you can hear this word of God and go out and booze. Because Christians want to come to church, after 2 hours they go and booze because the word did not challenge them. For I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit on your descendants. Joel 2:28. You see that? I'll pour my Spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. This is very important, and this is the perfect will of God. The Spirit upon is the revealing of the works of God. It is for the saving of lives, for the saving of souls. It's not just for the sake of it. Remember what he says in John 2:11. He says, this beginning of signs, Jesus manifested his glory. What does it say next? And his disciples did what? Believed in him. Can you see how important it was for him to manifest the glory? This is what I'm saying. What manifestation of the Spirit that is given you? What gift of the Spirit that is given you? Because when God manifested, people are going to be saved. Lives are going to be saved. Souls are going to be saved. They will see and experience God for the first time and say, this is him. Now we believe. Like the disciples, the Bible says, then they believed in him because he manifested his glory. Oh, come on, Church of Jesus Christ. Arise, shine, your time has come. Wake up. Your time is here. Your time is now. John 4:46-48. John 4:46-48. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. That means not everyone is going to believe by us shooting our mouths off to them. There are some, he says, unless you people, the people of Cana of Galilee, unless you people see the signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. You know the people that know you, that are familiar with you, when you tell them the things of God, they may not hear, but when the Spirit of God begins to manifest himself through you, they say, yes, of truth, God is upon you. Of truth, God is upon you. And now we believe. Like that Samaritan woman that the Lord met at the well, everyone knew that that woman was a woman of not so good repute. This is the reason why when she came and told them things concerning holiness, the men were like, what? Their eyes popped open to say, how can a woman of this character come and tell us about having found the Messiah, about having found someone great? He says, come, I'll show you the man who told me everything that I've ever done. And they knew that could only be a prophet of God. Now they ask themselves, if truly there's a prophet of God, how would the prophet of God manifest himself to a woman of this kind of character? It is curiosity that drew them. It is curiosity. Now, when the Holy Spirit begins to manifest, because at the well, what happened? Jesus manifested his glory. Gift of prophecy, gift of discernment was at work because of the Spirit. Because remember, God anointed him. The Spirit of God came upon him. Holy Spirit came upon him. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes upon, then the Holy Spirit now, he can be able to work through. Can you see that? You can be sitting at the coffee shop, at work or wherever, sipping your coffee, and suddenly the Lord says, you see that man? You're not even thinking about people, you're minding your own things. He says, you see that man? Go and tell him 1, 2, 3, and 4. And you go tell that man just breaks. And you just save the soul. But you did not plan it. You see, it's not you using yourself or manifesting yourself. It's him. How many people are broken? How many people are hurting? How many people are contemplating suicide? How many people are going to kill themselves this week, are going to kill themselves next month, that are within your circles? And God, he desperately wants to save them. And God has placed you there, but you are none the wiser to the grand scheme of things of God, to what God is wanting to do, because the greater plan of God is to save humanity and not Christians, humanity. You are already saved. People are being shot at in this season in South Africa. Even yesterday, I think 10 were shot. The other day, it was a family that was shot. The other time, it was 10, I think, as well. In Orange Farm here, they were shot. Eastern Cape, they started being shot in Eastern Cape, in Lusikisiki. After Lusikisiki, they were shot in KZN. After KZN, they were shot in Orange Farm. And now, again, they went back to Eastern Cape. Yesterday, 10 were shot down in Eastern Cape. Do you think God does not want to save these people? But God does not have an instrument, a vessel. It's the vessels that God has planted there, has placed there. Imagine you're innocent, you're just pop, 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 you're gunned down. That's the end of you. That's what happened last night. That's what happened in the four incidents that I just mentioned. Is the church here today? Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. You are the vessel of God for signs and wonders. You are. You are. There are people that may never ever believe until they see signs and wonders, and you are the vessel, the chosen. You are the one to say, I'm the chosen vessel of God, a special people, a holy nation. Oh, chosen for what? Chosen for what? Forget that part. Nobody goes to buy a Ferrari just to park it in perpetuity. Uyalazi inani owathengwa ngalo. Do you know the value, the price on you? The price he had to pay for you. So he paid the price for you so that you can be a bench warmer. He paid such a price so that you can hide yourself. For people not to know, my Christianity, my faith, my belief is private, it's personal. Wow. No, I'm a private person. We are all private. But the manifestation, it comes upon you. You don't call for it. No, it comes. And when it comes, the Spirit of the Lord takes over. Where did he get the boldness from? To stand in front of 3,000 men. He was possessed of the Holy Spirit. He was given right there and then what to say. Ours is to have a living relationship with the Holy Spirit and with His Word. We are not there to be able to plan what to say, how to say, where to say. No, the Bible says we must be ready in season and out of season. Not to be there to memorize so that, no, now I'm ready. No, ready being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the readiness. Holy Spirit does not need your help, does not need my help. To be ready for His use. Father, you'll forgive me that I'm preaching to wrong people. John chapter number 5 and verse number 35. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, talking about his cousin, John the Baptist, he says he was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. He was a burning and shining, burn and shine, burn and shine, burning and shining. All right? And he says, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. This is the will of God for each one of us. The manifestation of the Spirit is for each believer, for every believer. This is the will of God, church, for every one of us to be a burning and a shining lamp. For people to rejoice in our light. For people to be blessed by us, for people to see and experience the Lord through us, for people to be saved. You are a blessing, a saved man, a saved woman, a saved boy, a saved girl, a saved child is a blessing to the nations. We are a blessing to the Gentiles. We are a blessing to those who are not born again. You are a blessing to unbelievers. Now, here's my pointed question to you. Are you a blessing? Blessing to unbelievers. Blessing to unbelievers. Blessing to the people that come in contact with you. Blessing to your colleagues. Blessing to your unsaved friends. You are a blessing. They just desire you for no reason. They just love it when you're around. They just love it when they're around you. You are born again. You have the Spirit of God in you. All right? It says, John was the burning and the shining lamp. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, you people, for a season, for a time, right? You rejoice in his light. You are willing to rejoice in his light. It was beautiful. That's a person, a vessel. And remember the Bible says, John was filled, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Before he was born, before he took his first breath. Hey, let's not limit God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Let us not limit God. Let's be careful, women, ladies, and fathers. Let's be careful when we are carrying the kids right there. The moment of salvation has begun right there. The moment of salvation begins right there. That's why God says, don't kill them. That's why don't abort. You have no power to make a human being. So when a human being is there made and forming, don't kill it. He was filled from his mother's womb with the Holy Spirit. And he says, he was the burning and the shining light. Why? Why? Filled with the Spirit of God from he manifests himself. See, the Spirit within became the Spirit without. And it was only when it was the Spirit without manifesting that people rejoiced. Maybe some of us, this is why people are not rejoicing, we're not a blessing to them, because you are keeping everything in is for me, for myself and I. That's not the reason why you were born again. That's not according to our calling. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We, friends like John, we are the burning and the shining lamp for people to rejoice in our light, for people to be blessed by us, for people to see and to experience the Lord through us, for people to be saved. Remember, Isaiah says, people shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now I prophesy to you, arise, shine, for your time has come. People shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Let's clap hands for Jesus in this house today.